sewer camera replacements for Department of Environmental Services.
Is that for speeding tickets?
Maybe we could try that. That would be another source of revenue for us.
Something's moving through the system too fast?
Yeah. Actually, the sewer camera is a replacement for an existing camera that we purchased back in 1998. We use it on a regular basis. As you can imagine, it's a pretty hostile environment that it works in. We put it down in active sewer lines. We use it to locate blockages or line breaks or, in a lot of cases, leaks too, which, you know, you wouldn't see from the surface, but it allows us to locate a leak. And also, there's other uses. Sometimes, you know, if we put a lateral in Bethany Beach in 1978 and the house is being built in 2011, sometimes that lateral's gotten lost through the years. So
I schedule Sam for one of these procedures.
Nonetheless, we had bid this in March and opened up the actual bids in March. At that time, we had two bids. Our engineer's estimate was $150,000. Our low bidder was Golden Equipment Company of Morris, PA, and we had what we thought was a very good bid of $117,718. However, as we started to investigate the piece of equipment that they had specified in the bid, we found it did not meet the specifications. There were a lot of small things which we could work around, but there were several large things which we could not. One of the problems is that the unit itself is 40 inches long, and what we do is we use a lift to drop it within a manhole lid that's 24 inches in diameter, and then the base of the manholes, 99% of our manholes are 4 feet in diameter. And what we found, we eventually had a demonstration, is that we could not place the sewer camera in the manhole, in the channel, without one of our personnel having to climb down into the manhole. And the problem being, well, one, we have, you know, some of our manholes are rather deep and we don't like to do it unless we have to. But the other thing, that then requires the use of confined space entry equipment going out on the job every time we want to use the camera, and that's a big problem for us. And then the other thing is that we have 6-inch main, 8-inch main, and then all the way up to 30-inch main, and we had clearly specified that we needed a unit that could camera TV 6-inch sewer main, and the unit that was specified does not. It won't fit into a 6-inch sewer line. And then finally, one of the things that we do when we run the camera down the sewer lines is we have a camera to tilt our existing unit, can tilt up and go up and zoom and inspect in our 6-inch laterals. And this particular unit that was bid by Golden did not have that capability. So there's three items that, you know, we have to reject. We could not accept the bid because those are basic tenets of the specification as it was bid, and we would, you know, the other bidder would routinely, you know, place a claim if we did award the bid. And it didn't function for the way we need to do it anyway. So based upon all that, one of the things I should mention, we had both companies come down and do a run-through for us, and we learned a lot about sewer cameras. And we also found two other potential bidders having gone through this process. So what we would like to do is reject all the bids and put it back out on the street. We actually think we can attract some other bidders at the same time. So if there aren't any questions, I have a motion which would allow us to reject the bids that we received in March and rebid the contract for the sewer camera.
Any questions, Council?
No.
Motion, sir.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that all bids received for Sussex County Project Number 10-09 sewer camera replacement be rejected and that the contract be rebid.
Don't make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Next thing is letter of credit recall.
Yeah, this is for the Herring Point development, and it's listed as letter of credit recall, but frankly, we hope that we don't have to take action on this. The project, as I mentioned, is known as Herring Point. It's project number 484. It's located in the Angola area. The developer is Mr. Joe Reed. We are holding two existing letters of credit, number 20-11A is in the amount of $380,850. That would cover the roads and sidewalks for the development. We also have another letter of credit in the amount of $12,000, and that's for stormwater improvements. Basically, the one pond is complete, but it does need to be excavated and regraded. Michelle Warren of my staff has been working with both the developer and the bank, Wilmington Trust, to extend the letters of credit. I don't think I mentioned that the two letters of credit are slated to expire on July 11th, but unfortunately we don't have a meeting next week, and unfortunately neither the bank nor the developer could have the extended letter of credits in our possession for today's meeting. So what I would like to do is pass a motion that allows me to move forward with calling in the letters of credit if I have not received them by the end of business on July 6th. That will give me the 7th and 8th to get everything together and get it to Wilmington Trust in time for the expiration date on July 11th. We fully believe, we've been working with the developer, and we believe that he will have his extensions in place by that time.
Questions?
Wolf. Has he sold any lots at all in this development?
Yes.
Okay. Then he's obligated.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
I have a motion.
You have a motion,
yes,
sir.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorize its county engineer and finance director to take action to draw funds from the letter of credits numbers 2011-A and 1-2011-B held by Wilmington Trust Company in order to complete the construction or procure others to complete the construction of project number 484 Herring Point, should amended letters of credit not be provided to the engineering department by the close of business on July 6,
2011. Motion?
Yeah, make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Mm-hmm. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir.
I got another question.
Sam, Mr. Wilson.
If this project had not been started, in other words, it had been started but it never had no houses sold or no lots sold, couldn't this not been reduced as far as letter of credit, or do we really?
We actually had his original letter of credit, for example, for the roads was about $1.2 million, but as he completed features in the development, we reduced it down to the $380,000. That's what's left to be done. He has to put his final layer of pavement as well as constructive sidewalks. So we work with the developers, and as they complete things, we reduce the letters of credit for each project.
Okay.
Sam, you would have to, I would think, you would have to avoid...
I'll talk to you about the project.
Okay. You'd have to avoid the approvals. Otherwise, if we don't have any money sitting there, you know, holding things, they go off and sell to somebody else. They could start doing stuff, and we wouldn't have anything making sure that, you know, certain things are getting done. So,
well, the reason I'm driving at here, George, is you got 50 acres of land, and George is going here to put some roads on it. You haven't sold any to anybody.
Right,
you're already sold owner. And you go ahead and start building this thing. Who if you quit, who's hurting?
Right, I don't mind that, but
it doesn't hurt
that person, right? But if that person,
right,
is that person then still have the ability then to flip that whole project, and then that person steps into a project without any monies being held in these letters of credit?
Then if that guy doesn't finish it, he's still hurting, right?
The next guy could start selling lots, I'm saying.
That when you start selling lots.
Well, how do we get the money then to make sure something gets done?
When the letter of credit,
we actually, back in the 80s, that was our system. You could build your development, and if you did not transfer lots, you did not have to have a letter of credit or bond. Now, what happened was, got into the 90s, and we had so many projects being constructed that we could not track. We just basically couldn't track who was selling lots and who was not selling lots.
That's right.
And that's the difference. Then we also got in a situation where different phases would be flipped between different developers, so the developer you started out with may not have been the developer that was currently the owner of the project, and he might start, and in some cases they did start selling lots, not understanding the bonding requirements, and it just became more than we could track.
Right.
And so it became the policy to have a bond or a letter of credit on all projects.
But we have come to a different situation now. We've come to a point that banks do not have the money or will not give us line of credit in the situation we're in. And I have a particular project I'm thinking of, and Michael's guy brought to my attention, and he's talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. He hasn't sold the first lot, and it's all his. I just think we're somewhere.
Well, if we could, I don't have any problem with saying what you're leading up to, but I think there has to be something that comes in where we block the ability of that project then to move on and get us into a situation where people maybe bought something and have these expectations and we can't back them up.
I totally agree with you. We need to make sure that landowner.
Or just maybe they just
make it known that
all approvals just get canceled, and he goes back to base one, but he doesn't have to pay any money, and he can come back and start over, or somebody else can. But I just say you can't leave a subdivision on the books without the letters of credit to guarantee that something's, these certain things are supposed to be done. I just can't.
Yeah, the other situation we ran into is once we had multiple developers in different phases, if the developer in phase one didn't complete his work, the developer in phase two was bonded, but you have to go through phase one to get to phase two. And that led to some litigation that we would prefer not to be
part of. They got real creative, Sam. That's what when these developers got creative on ownership and everything, it made it very difficult for
us. We just can't track the sales.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Bob Jones, come on down. Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Phase 1 Expansion Contract 09-19, change order number 5.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, the change order 5 Inland Bays consists of three small changes. First was that we switched out some of the piping in the buildings from flange to basically what they call a groove pipe. And that results in a credit of $3,072. The second was that we needed to add a reducer to reduce a valve from down outside the valve from a 20-inch to go into the headworks, a 12-inch pipe, and that resulted in an increase of $1,588. And the third was we deleted the proposed mud valves at the headworks, which resulted in a credit of $4,120.20. Excuse me. So basically, change order 5 results in a decrease in the contract amount of $5,604.20. Any questions?
Any questions? No, sir.
I have a motion.
Yes, sir.
Be it moved, based upon a recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that change order number 5 for Sussex County Project 09-19 Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Phase 1 Expansion be approved in the credit amount of $5,604.20, which decreases the contract total to $12,845,108.80, contingent upon the receipt of approval from the funding agencies.
That's good.
Any questions? I'll take a motion.
A question.
Have a motion.
Sort of.
I'll make a motion.
A motion, Mrs. Mm-hmm. Deaver, yes. Second.
Second,
Mr. Cole. Question, Mr. Wilson.
All right, yes. Maybe not exactly these valves, but how are we coming on these irrigation systems that's down where you're talking about, right? Inland Bays.
The two spray field irrigation systems?
Oh, two new ones you've got coming in.
Yeah, they're sitting there, however.
Not used, right?
Correct. There's no electricity yet.
What's the reason?
The pump and blower building hasn't been built to be able to put the electrical controls in it so that it can run the entire facility. It's still under construction.
We'll take the vote, then we can go back to questions.
All right.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Now then, Mr. Phillips, you have any questions, or do you understand what his answer was?
I'm not necessarily agree with
building that. Wasn't built yet or something?
Well, the concern is that we've got a very good tenant for that property, and they're paying us an extremely good land rent, and we have tried to work with them well. Part of their request was as much irrigation as possible, as quickly as possible, so they could not only do a better job farming, but they could pay us a higher rent. And it's been the frustration of Mr. Wilson and mine, as well as the farmer, that you got all this irrigation laying on the ground, and it's completely worthless without the other components being put in place. Is there any way that we could jumpstart that process?
That was brought up at a progress meeting, and from what I understand, I didn't talk to the farmer directly, was that they were going, Hopkins was going to submit a proposal on how to do this. The pipes are integral, so you'd have to cut the pipe and insert to get the water from, I guess, an existing well. We have no way of pumping from the lagoons at this point to the system because of the electrical and all the pumps aren't in, because that's part of the contract to do. It never really came about to get an idea how to do this.
Have you ever got the electric water back to where the water goes in at the main?
No. Right now, the primaries are running from the existing transformer, the primary wire underground, to where the new transformer goes. From what I understand, we are waiting for the electrician to request Delaware Co-op to set that transformer once he gets his cut-in cards and his inspections done to make sure that the electric's in compliance.
We certainly ought to have 480 electricity down there somewhere. I know we got three-phase electric down there. I don't understand why we can't have that thing hooked up. I could do that on the farm. I'm not even big like the county here is. It just seems to me strange that we haven't got that done. It just should have been done.
Mr. Izzo, you coming forward, please?
It doesn't do no good to hook this thing up in September, October when the crop's done.
Yeah, we actually discussed it two progress meetings ago, which would have been the May progress meeting, and we asked, Mr. Hopkins brought it to our attention, the possibility, and I asked Mr. Hopkins to give us a proposal, and between that meeting and the June meeting, Mr. Hopkins came back and said that the farmer was no longer interested because the cost of running from the well to the rigs was more than he was willing to pay to irrigate the crops at that time. So, you know, we left it lie at that point.
Okay.
I guess at least I didn't think we were going to burden the farmer with that expense. I mean, he's paying us, he has the opportunity to pay us an irrigated land rent value. And I've just trying to understand if there was a low cost way to get him water, since we have all that irrigation on the ground.
Yeah,
evidently. A generator, you say it's an electric issue. Could a generator be put out there temporarily? We rent those things all the time.
It's, but you would still have to run the pipe from the well to the two irrigation rigs. Right. And that was the cost that was not worthwhile to the farmer. Again, it was he was the one looking to irrigate his crops. We didn't see it as a cost that would be borne by the sewer project.
Or the district, right? The district would pay for it.
Well, right.
We don't want to be losing money, and the cost of running that pipe would be substantial.
We never did get a cost from Mr. Hopkins. He chose not to pursue it because, again, what we heard is the farmer was no longer interested. I think it was something about the timing, too, where he wasn't.
Well, you guys are getting a different story than I get. I talked to the farmer, and he said, I'd like to get some water out there. He said, but I keep messing around, it won't do me no good.
Mr. President.
We'll continue on. Yeah, you can converse with Mr. Wilson, Mr. Phillips on this, if you would.
Wants the water, wants somebody else to pay for it.
And
well,
just like
that. But you're planting it, you can't grow it.
Next thing is Rehabilitation Rudder Lane, project number 10-07.
In your handout, you should have gotten the bid results of the bid that we did for Rudder Lane. We opened bids on the 23rd of June. Rudder Lane, as you all know, is the entrance into the airport where the sign is, and it's a narrow little 16-foot wide road that then goes and wraps around the OC. Well, basically, the scope was to widen that to 18 foot. It's the widest I can get without moving a fence. and then to get the pavement in that little section of tar and chip leveled up, which is called leveling and widening, and then overlay it with the other two areas of the roadway that needs overlaying, then of course it would require some utility adjustments and striping. On, like I say, the bids were open June 23rd. Four bids were received. The low bid was submitted by David A. Bramble, Inc., in the base bid amount of $74,642.50. Along with the base bid, we had asked pricing for two add alternates. The first was to extend the hot mix overlay about 100 feet from where Rudder Lane actually turns to the parking lot of the terminal building to the gate, since he was going to be paving anyway, which would have been a nice thing to do. Their price for that was $1,670. The second add alternate was to repair the asphalt pavement around the six catch basins in the Terminal Avenue parking lot. The six catch basins are sitting there, and if you've noticed, the asphalt around them has settled down a little bit, so every time it rains, water lays there. And it's basically just to cut out the asphalt and raise it up so that all the water drains into the catch basin. Their add alternate for that was $3,000. Now, basically, our engineer's estimate was $75,000, which, of course, covers the base bid but did not cover the alternate. So what we're suggesting is recommending to award the base bid amount, the bid amount of $74,642.50. Any questions?
Any questions? You have a motion?
Yes, sir. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, that Sussex County Project 10-07 Rehabilitate Rudder Lane be awarded to David A. Bramble, Inc. of Chestertown, Maryland, at the base bid amount of $74,642.50.
So moved. Motion, Mr. Cole. Second. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
All vote yes.
Thank you very much.
Motion carried. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Old business, Mr. Lang.